You are listening to the Delay and Pray podcast, episode number 70.
Welcome to the Delay and Pray podcast, where certified Catholic and weight loss coach Beth Bubick teaches you how to permanently lose weight through spiritual fasting. Get ready to gain faith and lose weight through a joyful transformation of both body and soul. Now, your host, Beth, the Catholic Fasting Coach.
So happy to be back with you, my friends, and to also be back with one of my favorite priests on the planet, Father Logan Parrish, the amazing pastor of St. Thomas the Apostle Catholic Church in Elkhart, Indiana. Well, this week we are wrapping up our three-part series with our discussion on the third and last portion of the quote from St. Peter Chrysologus, "Mercy receives." Let me review that actual quote for you that you should know by heart by now. It is this: prayer knocks, fasting obtains, and mercy receives. And this is so true for all of us who are spiritual fasters. This great saint really hits a home run with this ending. Yes, we pray. And then we add fasting, which increases the power of the prayer. And then we blast that prayer up to heaven by adding mercy to the mix. So, what is mercy? Whose mercy? My mercy? God's mercy? Or is this another both and that Father Logan likes to discuss? I bet you can guess the answer to that one. Saint Chrysologus says this about connecting fasting and prayer to mercy. Fasting is the soul of prayer. Mercy is the lifeblood of fasting. Let no one try to separate them. They cannot be separated. If you have only one of them or not all together, you have nothing. Ooh, consider that. He is really saying here that there really can be no prayer and fasting without mercy. What exactly is this mercy, as we've asked? It means so much to me, especially after studying St. Faustina and the Divine Mercy, but we'll leave that one for another podcast, but I'm going to kind of intertwine that into this podcast just a little bit. But St. Thomas Aquinas, now he defines mercy in general as the compassion in our hearts for another person's misery, a compassion which drives us to do what we can to help this person. It has the connotation of forgiveness, you know, like benevolence and kindness. He calls it actually almsgiving, and that sounds like Lent. This means getting involved in the church, giving our money, our time, our talent, the treasures that in today's culture we squander because we think we are too busy or we think we're living in lack and we don't have enough, but we do. I really like this definition from St. Thomas Aquinas. It makes sense that our prayer and fasting have to be bolstered by mercy and giving to others. I need to give mercy. Well, this puts me in a disposition to receive the desire or miracle that I am praying and fasting for. I used to call this fasting and praying with loose hands. In other words, mercy meaning, Lord, Lord, this is what I'm desiring. I'm offering my prayer and fasting for this particular grace, this particular thing. Now, Lord, with your loose hands, you can either give me the desire of my heart or I know you'll give me something better. And so that trust in the Lord through his mercy, that he's going to give you the desires of your heart or even something better. And that I love. The other part to mercy is this trust. I believe that God knows best what I need. So I need to trust him that he is going to answer me in the way that is for my highest good and the highest good of the soul I'm praying and fasting for. There is the both and again. Prayer for you is good for me too. I often say that I hold my prayers and fasting with loose hands, like I said before, because another reason is that the Father is always working, as in John 5:17. So he will give me what is absolutely best for my body and soul and for my highest good. So I can seek his best blessings in faith while completing acts of mercy for others. I'm just passing on those blessings, right? This is scriptural and it is true and it is the living word. Luke 6:36 says, "Be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful." We want to be like him. Well, this threefold cord, this prayer, this fasting, this mercy is so Lenten. I mean, none of these three can be separated. Prayer, fasting, and mercy are just amazing. And they really tip dieting on its head. I mean, losing weight through only monitoring food and drink wow, that just doesn't work. We know that. And it's also self-seeking and a little self-focused, while prayer and fasting, grounded on mercy, is always other-centered. It's outward. It involves transformation through Christ, and it's grounded on Jesus while using your hands, heart, and mind to help others. I mean, the weight loss becomes a conscious side effect, right? It comes, and it's great, but it's not really the goal. So it's more like getting fit in body and soul. There's also no rush here. We are spiritually fasting for the glory of God, and the weight just drops off. How beautiful that we can become fit for God for His glory, not ours. That, my friends, is a mind shift, a beautiful, holy mind shift. It is really like begging God for compassion, for kindness, for forgiveness. And as we beg for mercy, we must show mercy to others. You cannot have one without the other. As the longer form of the Chrysologus quote states this, "To make prayer and fasting acceptable, mercy must be added. Fasting bears no fruit unless it is watered by mercy. Fasting dries up when mercy dries up. Mercy is to fasting as rain is to earth. However much you may cultivate your heart, clear the soil of your nature, root out vices, sow virtues, if you do not release the springs of mercy, your fasting will bear no fruit." And I cannot wait to hear what Father Logan has to say about that. "When you fast, if your mercy is thin, your harvest will be thin." It's going back to this farmer analogy that he gave us. When you fast, what you pour out in mercy overflows into your barn. Ah, the more you give, the more you get. Therefore, do not lose by saving, but gather in by scattering. Give to the poor and you give to yourself. You will not be allowed to keep what you have refused to give to others. Oh, those last three lines, they need to be written like on my forehead so that I can see them every day. We must beg for mercy like Jacob from the Bible when meeting his brother Esau in battle in the book of Genesis. You have to go way back for this one, but it's one of my favorites. "Mercy received his request and granted it. Mercy is God himself. Fasting is a sort of begging. Jacob walked all alone to a desert place to plead with God for mercy from his brother. But the Lord came to him as a stranger and wrestled him all night to test his strength. At daybreak, the man asked him to let him go. But Jacob said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.'" This is Genesis chapter 32, around verse 26. "The man struck his hip at the joint socket and renamed him Israel and blessed him because he had contended with God and humans and had prevailed." So in our humanness, we're going to struggle when we start to fast, and we're going to depend on God's mercy to get us through, but that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It's going to be challenging. Jacob, in all his humanness, struggled and he prevailed with much endurance and discomfort. So he was blessed. He did not give up, and that's what we need to do. We need to learn how to struggle in our discomfort and just giving a little bit of food up and drink up for that during the week and just move it to Sundays. And in Lent, maybe try to do it the entire time. But it's up to you. You know, you just decide that level of struggle that you want to introduce into your life with the help of Jesus and what he wants you to do. So St. Chrysologus adds this, "If you ask for yourself what you deny to others, your asking is a mockery. Let this be the pattern for all men when they practice mercy. Show mercy to others in the same way, with the same generosity, with the same promptness as you want others to show mercy to you. Therefore, let prayer, mercy, and fasting be one single plea to God on our behalf, one speech in our defense, and a threefold united prayer in our favor." Mary asks us all to pray and fast from the heart, which means mercifully. Just begin and follow the invitation to fast with confidence and trust in God, no matter how hard it is at the beginning. God always wants something good for us through prayer and fasting. We can expect our hearts to change and to grow in mercy, forgiveness, and repentance. Our sins will bubble up to the top of our minds when we are hungry, and those we can take to confession. And I'm telling you, this works. I'm such a better person since being a spiritual faster, but I have a very long way to go. Everything that Christ did to reconcile us to God, I mean, his suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension, this has transferred over to the sacraments. So the sacraments are how we encounter God's mercy. Not only the sacraments, but the community of the church. We can't separate them. So go to the sacraments, get involved in the church, go physically into the church and do a lot of things there, particularly the sacraments of baptism, Eucharist, and confession. These are where we should actually involve ourselves the most, because this is true freedom. Freedom from overeating and overdrinking and slavery to material things. The best part about prayer, fasting, and mercy is deepening our joy in the Lord as He brings about miracles for you and your family as you learn to surrender your whole life to Him and let Him take care of everything so that you can live at the pace of peace. All right, with all of that being said and that long introduction, let's get back to Father Logan. Let's get him back into the conversation and have a great time. Welcome back, Father Logan. Are you ready for the third and final round?
Ready, Beth.
Okay, awesome. So today we're focusing on mercy receives within the quote, prayer knocks, fasting obtains, mercy receives from St. Peter Chrysologus. So Father Logan, last subject, mercy receives. And I think this is the one I had told you that I need a little help with. This is the one that eludes people sometimes on how to understand that last part, mercy receives.
Yes. And I think St. Peter, who was writing in the 400s, just a few hundred years after Christ, he doesn't miss a beat, really. That Jesus, as much as he tells us, when you pray, when you fast, when you give alms, right? That's involved. When you do these things, the expectations of Jesus, do them in secret. So your Father who sees you in secret will repay you. We're doing this for a repayment from our Father. And so prayer is the knocking, sort of the planting of the seed. Fasting is the obtains. It's the sort of the tilling of the soil. But mercy receives, and this really has to do with her acts of charity. So St. Peter, in this quote, he says, as the rains and the water are to the soil awaiting sort of bringing forth life, so mercy is to the fasting. And so there can be sort of a dryness in when we're fasting and almost this may be sometimes a difficulty in offering it up or getting through fasting. St. Peter actually sees that the acts of mercy, whether they be the corporal and the spiritual works of mercy, which we can look at too, he actually sees them as sort of the water and the energy and the grace behind the ultimately fruitful fast. And so to see them all together, the planting of the seed, the tilling of the soil, and then the water that comes on high, that's the mercy. It's the work of mercy. And maybe the great image, the perfect image is that of St. Thomas and Divine Mercy and St. Faustina, right? Jesus, he has streams of blood and water. They come forth from his open side, from his open heart. And so our acts of mercy call forth the heart of mercy to rain down, especially upon our own places of fasting, right? So if you're trying to break through habits, if you're trying to break, especially some addictions, whether to be into sinful things or to even just food and drink, right? If we want the grace of God to pour forth on that, St. Peter believes and insists that we actually live a life of mercy, live in these acts of charity.
So what you're saying then is make it easier on myself, like for the prayer and the fasting, if I'm really struggling, like I'm hungry and I just eat and I'm like, dang, I really wanted to fast, but I ate. It's really going to be better it's more like almsgiving almost. So it's almost like I'm going out and I'm going to a charity, or I'm going to devote my time, I'm going to work with somebody, I'm going to tell us a little bit about that. So it's really those three things that are actually going to make that trifold cord that is.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So if you want to, again, the work of the farmer, right? He plants the seed, but he knows he will not bring the seed to grow. That's actually beyond his power. And so he does what he can, right? he tills the soil, making sure anything that's in the way of the roots, that's in the way of these seeds, digging roots and growing shoots and bearing fruits. He does his part, right? The fasting we can do a little bit more sort of intentionally, but the works of mercy, really, that is the great work of faith, right? The faith is seeing what is unseen, seeing the things that are invisible. So that in Matthew 25, Jesus says, when you have done these things, clothing the naked, the feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, the visiting the imprisoned, he says, when you've done these things for the least of my brethren, you have done them for me. Like that is the work of faith, the work of seeing with the eyes of God. I cannot see Jesus, but I can see my neighbor. And so as much as the sacraments are like my visible and sensible interaction with the Lord, that my works of mercy are my visible and sensible interactions with the Lord, my mercy to the Lord, right? And so as much as I want him to be merciful to me, like I have to be merciful to him. It's my Enoch's and Enoch. It's the both and. And so this is why Mother Teresa, she spends her 2 hours in adoration. Undoubtedly, like she was, you know, just a stick. So I'm sure her fasting was incredible. Mm-hmm. But where does she spend her time, right? Where are souls being converted, right? In her work of mercy, Jesus calls out to her, to Mother Teresa, I thirst, right? Yeah. And so in pursuing and to sate Jesus's thirst by ministering to him and the poor, to him and the ignorant and the doubtful and the sinner and the sick and the homeless and the thirsty, and ministering to Jesus's thirst there, he ministers to my thirst here. I knock and he knocks. So we can look at those corporal and spiritual works of mercy too, just to get some inspiration.
Oh my gosh, I love that. And so it's not only that the Lord is merciful. Jesus is love and mercy himself, and he accepts. See, that's what I was thinking, is he accepts my prayer and my fasting, and he accepts it. But on the same, it is a both and. So it's, you're opening up all these beautiful things. It's charity.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And St. James, he's very insistent. He says, on faith and works, he says, I do not ask, show me your faith. I ask, show me your works, and I will know of your faith, right? It's quite damning. Yeah.
Yes, and then I wrote down, be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. So if he's going to be merciful to me, then I can be merciful to his children.
Right?
There you go. That's Luke. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Okay, that's beautiful. It really is. I didn't see that side, that both and. There's a both and to all of these things. That's absolutely beautiful. Yes. Okay. Love it. Thank you so much. Any more to add on mercy, Father Logan?
Yeah, sometimes it can feel, especially when you hear priests talk about you need to be, especially when you hear Matthew 25, the damning, the splitting between the goats and the lambs, those who saw Jesus and the poor and those who didn't, and how often we find ourselves on the other side, right? We find ourselves really to be kind of these sheep goats, how often we look upon our neighbor, upon our spouse, upon our children, upon my coworker, let alone upon the person begging. How often we actually don't see Jesus there. And so I would just invite anyone listening to hear again the works of mercy. First the corporal, then we'll look at the spiritual. And imagine your own life and how you have done these things. And imagine, perhaps ask Jesus, how are you calling me to do these, or in a new sense? So perhaps the mother can think of her own children, or her own family, when we hear feeding the hungry. Oh, yeah, I do that every day. And how often am I bitter about, right, this? Or how often were my kids bitter about, you know, what dinner was served? Giving drink to the thirsty. Jesus says, whoever even gives a glass of water to one of these little ones, his reward will be the same. All right, we'll provide. How often, how often have you had to feed your baby, right? With milk, right? Clothing the naked, right? Changing their diaper. You can think even of caring for your parents, right? Clothing the naked, changing them, right? Giving them showers. How often have we had done this? Sheltering the homeless, whether it's the distant family member who just needs a couch to sleep on, or trying to actually help at the homeless shelter. And here in our diocese, we've had a good few. Is that a possibility for me? Visiting the sick. Do I have someone in the hospital? Do I have someone who's homebound? Can I send them cards? Can I give them a call? We have new means of visiting the sick. Let's do that. Visiting the imprisoned, right? In the same way, the homebound, but perhaps even those in prison. Have we reached out? I know we have a prison ministry in Elkhart. Is that something that the Lord's calling us to? And then finally, burying the dead, especially when it comes to those in our own family entrusted to us as they die. Are we giving them the full funeral rites, making sure that they are laid to rest, right? That's a work of mercy. So if you're looking to receive, mercy receives. So those are just half of the works of mercy. We can jump to the other half in a second. But I hope we can start to see, like, oh, this is what I do. And maybe now that the kids are out of the house, actually, like, maybe that's what Jesus is calling me to do. All we have to do is ask Jesus, which one of these works of mercy are you calling me to? See what he kind of speaks and invites you to, and then get creative. Even, you know, like bringing a meal to a mom after having a child, right? That's feeding the hungry, no doubt, right? Mm-hmm. I think we need to start seeing works of mercy as actually works of mercy. And then just jumping, and then forgiving my tirade here, I just get excited here. With the spiritual works of mercy are just as merciful. And so when we're instructing the ignorant, those who do not know Jesus, simply the invitation Hey, can I pray with you? What can I pray for? How much would our parish be changed if everyone went out that week and asked a coworker, what can I pray for? And brought it to say Sunday Mass, that intention, right? Counseling the doubtful. How often, like if someone actually brought up some real vulnerable feelings of doubt, the Lord puts you in that opportunity. And do you see it as an opportunity to really minister? Ask Jesus for that opportunity. He will give it to you to counsel the doubtful, to admonish sinners. How often are we in conversations with coworkers about not great things and or gossiping about someone else? And we know we should step up and defend, or at least leave the conversation, and we say nothing. Pontius Pilate did the same, right? Mm-hmm. So admonishing sinners, bearing wrongs patiently. This is great in marriage. This is a work of mercy, that the patiently bearing wrongs. Oof, that's not easy, but it's a work of mercy. Mercy receives. Forgiving offenses willingly, also great in marriage, and many opportunities there. But to see this as an opportunity, really, to receive mercy for the rain, for the water of Jesus's pierced side to wash over the seeds of my prayer, the tilled soil of my heart, right? Comforting the afflicted, those who are not just sick or homebound or in prison, but truly suffering right now in whatever state. And seeing my job is simply one to comfort, perhaps just to listen. And then finally, praying for the living and the dead. This is really the work of intercession, the work of the saints. And that's our work, because mercy receives. And so I just to hopefully kind of extend and remind ourselves, wow, I can give alms, so to speak, do works of charity now. And what if I just picked one of those to do for Lent and asked Jesus, give me the opportunity to feed the hungry. Give me opportunity to visit the homebound, the imprisoned. Give me the opportunity to bear wrongs patiently. That's a dangerous prayer, by the way. But ask the Lord for these opportunities for mercy so that your fasting and your prayer can actually come to bear fruit, if that makes sense.
Oh, it totally fulfills the entire quote. It really kind of tips it on its head for me a little bit. And I love it. And I think actually, when I think about it, it's probably something that I'm missing. So like I'm thinking my spiritual goal is really to get people into the church, but not only to go out to the church, but to go out to the church and to go out to the community, to others. Yeah. Yeah.
The gospel doesn't get spread by accident, right?
Yes. So, it's what it is. Yeah. Thank you. I love that. Then in a little fasting book here, it says he wants fasting and prayer to make us find our joy in him and our neighbor, so that we are able to live in union with other people and thus to bring together in peace and love all conditions that are necessary for our own happiness and that of mankind as a whole. So to find our joy in him and our neighbor. And that's where we're headed, straight down that road, especially during Lent. And then Lent is just the beginning. I always teach that Lent's just the beginning. Don't go back to your old habits.
And I would just, to end, I think the words that the Triduum is one long day. It's a threefold day, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday into Easter Sunday. And just to receive by like to see prayer as the intimacy of Holy Thursday, where the Lord gives himself totally to me, right? Where he has sat at table with me, right? And he looks upon me with love. The suffering and the penance of Good Friday, right? We can see that it really is the work of fasting, and the little suffering I endure, I can unite it to him. That's the redemption. And then the joy of Easter Sunday. This is really the joy of mercy, right? I get to see my neighbor and to see the Lord in his face now, in the face of my neighbor. So it's one day really for us. And for us Christians, we get to live that and every day after Lent. So this is the life of the Christian, the intimacy of prayer, the suffering of fasting, and the joy of mercy. All go together, and it's the life of the Christian.
Oh, well, let's end there. That was beautiful. I will never see the Triduum the same. That was phenomenal. Thank you so much for this last episode, Father Logan. The entire discussion was amazing, especially during Lent, and I know my audience enjoyed hearing how prayer, mercy, and fasting may be just one single plea to God and transform us in both body and soul, as we've been talking about. So may God bless you always, and thank you so much, and we'll have you on again one day. So thanks, Father Logan. Happy Lent.
Thank you, Beth. God bless you.
God bless. I hope you enjoyed this podcast with Father Logan. If you did, please subscribe and even leave a 5-star review if you wouldn't mind, so others will hear the great message of spiritual fasting, get healthy, lose weight, and get back to the sacraments this year. Have a great week, my friends, and I will talk to you next week. May God bless you and keep you always. If you are interested in learning more about spiritual fasting and permanent weight loss, then come join my course, Delay and Pray, a guided course for weight loss through spiritual fasting. You won't go through it alone either. I will be there to coach you every step of the way. This is a group coaching program where you are part of an amazing community of like-minded Catholics who have the same goal as you, to bring about miracles while losing that weight permanently through spiritual fasting. Your purchase includes an online course detailing what spiritual fasting is, how to do it, and all the tools you need to get you the results you're longing for. Head over to my website right now at thecatholicfastingcoach.com and get the details on how to join. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, and LinkedIn to always get the latest daily information to help you keep fasting, my friends. Can't wait to see you in there. May God bless you and keep you always.